session, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. As always, and I say it over and over again because I'm teaching a series on magnifying the office of an apostle, I'm so thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is the founder of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Word of Life Christian Center, and Ever Increasing Word Ministry. I'm so, an LTMA. Everything that he sets his hand to do, God is with it. It prospers because of the apostolic call and grace that's upon his life. But more than that, by reason of his experience, his use, he is a matured man of God who's qualified to lead us, because nobody can take you where they have not gone. And so I'm so thankful for he and the royal family. I constantly speak blessings over their lives. And I'm thankful for all of you who are in this school of ministry. I recognize that much of this teaching over the last couple of weeks, it may sound boring to you, probably because we're not familiar with this territory, especially how prophecy works in a church setting. Most of the time when you go to church, it's a free-for-all. But Apostle Jonathan David, in this book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, is showing us how various forms of prophecy actually function in the church. So we're going to complete chapter 8 this evening and move into chapter number 9, the gift of the word of knowledge, and quite possibly chapter 10, if time permits. So let's begin where we left off in chapter number 8. Corporate prophecy. Corporate prophecy, it is prophecy that is given collectively for a group or a company of believers in a church, a denomination, or even a nation. This type of prophecy binds the whole group together to fulfill the same destiny. It harnesses them to work together and to move forward in the same direction. It is operating in this dimension of prophecy that characterizes, notice, a prophet's ministry. The prophet provides the clarity of God's call over that company of believers and unfolds the purposes of God in bringing them together. This type of prophecy is normally initiated by prophetic revelation. When such a high level or degree of prophecy is given, it must always be explained and expounded to the people by prophetic preaching. Prophetic preaching helps to interpret the prophetic contents of the prophecy given so that the people do not walk away by what they think God has said, but they know what God has truly said. Prophetic preaching adds inspired suggestions, thoughts, and ideas for the congregation to pursue in order to fulfill the prophecy. These suggestions are inspired, but do not carry the same level of prophetic anointing as prophetic revelation. Prophetic preaching gives the people greater clarity as care is taken to develop its content, and very little room is left for misinterpretation or spiritual presumptions. I, prophecy in private prayer or prophecy in devotion. Sometimes, while you are praying alone, you may receive an anointing to prophesy. This is not an abnormal experience because, one, since prophecy is a spirit manifestation, the Holy Spirit must have the freedom to speak to us at any time or in any place. Number two, we may feel that prophecy is for the body. This is true, but we are also a part of the body of Christ. And three, we may say, I already know in my heart what God is saying to me. So why should I prophesy? Why can I not just think about it instead of prophesying? We need to make the prophecy audible so that the spoken word can be confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is a spoken or rhema word. The power of that word is only unleashed as it is spoken out and not reasoned or thought about. You got to speak it out in the spirit of faith. Go ahead. When we take what God has spoken to our heart and start to think and to reason within our unrenewed mind, then doubt, unbelief, and fear paralyzes the effectual working of those promises in our lives. When we receive a word into our hearts, we need to speak it out boldly and confidently. Make audible the word of God that is spoken to our hearts in secret by the Holy Spirit. As we speak it out boldly, faith, or the spirit of faith, is released into and from our hearts. As we speak it out, the spoken word, notice this, creates an atmosphere of faith over our minds and over our lives. As we speak it out, we are sowing to the Holy Spirit. And at the appropriate time, we will also reap from the Spirit. As we speak that prophecy out boldly, or that word from the Lord boldly, our minds are informed. We begin to receive spiritual knowledge. And this knowledge renews our minds. In the process of the renewing of our minds, our doubts, fears, and unbeliefs are dealt with. All things that are negative are cast down. All responses that are contrary to the rhema word are removed. This allows the mind to respond righteously and become a help to the spirit rather than a hindrance. When two, the mind and the spirit shall come in agreement, it shall be done. Just a word of caution here. It is hard to test a prophecy given in this way, because there's absolutely no one present to judge it. We should not rely on these private prophecies for directions or for guidance, but we can take them for personal edification and spiritual upbuilding. Chapter number 9, the gift of the word of knowledge. Introduction. Partial knowledge or revelation knowledge is continual in this age until the perfect comes. The perfect is not the canon of Scripture, but Jesus, who is coming again in person. Revelation knowledge is available until we come face to face with Christ at his second coming. The accessibility of what we can know now in revelation knowledge is limited to what God has given us in his written word. Through his written word, we know only in part. No new revelation can come which is not already given in the part, which is the canon of Scripture, being made known to us in his written word. New Testament prophets function in line with the word and illuminates that which has already been made known to us in part. Prophets help to interpret and illuminate the portions of the written word that has been unfolded to them. The present day revelation flow makes the written word relevant for our time. We do not need revelation knowledge in heaven or after Jesus' second coming. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for us to use on this earth and to help us to be a good witness on this earth. B, two realms of revelation knowledge. Number one, illuminative revelation. Illuminative revelation is that which enlightens mainly the truths in God's written word. It is the revelation of the word. It also illuminates principles that are in God's word that are applicable to special needs or situations in the lives of those receiving the word. Number two, informative revelation. This realm concerns specific information that is made known to the prophets and prophetic ministers by the spirit of revelation and through the revelation gifts. It includes the realm of revelation and prediction. See, the definition of the word of knowledge. It is the Holy Spirit's supernatural revelation of the mind of Christ concerning certain facts of the past and present of a person. Some details from the infinite knowledge of God are given to a person. The preposition of the word of knowledge must be taken note of. It is not a word of knowledge. It is the word of knowledge. In other words, it is absolutely specific. One example is when Jesus met the woman at the well. Jesus told that woman, go call your husband. She said unto him, I have no husband. And Jesus, functioning in one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, said unto her, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband, for thou hast had five. That's talking about the past, right? And the one you're with now is not your husband. Now, I want to talk to you here for a second. When flowing and functioning in the nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, love must always be the motive for functioning in the gifts. Because when you function in the gifts, it will draw people, even when you're revealing facts to them that would seemingly be embarrassing or you're telling them off or calling them out. Jesus' motive was not to be spiritual or to prove a point. It was God's mind regarding this woman. And this woman left from Jesus and went into the city and say, come see a man who done told me all about myself. Now, come on. See, remember, Jesus' entire ministry was about functioning in those nine manifestations of the Spirit. And it is important to take note that Jesus didn't do the work. It was his Father doing the work in him. How did the Father do the work through Jesus? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just don't show up. He come with his gifts. All right. The word of knowledge is a fragment of the knowledge of God. But it is a specific word that is needed for the situation, for the person that's involved. It is the exact word. There's no guesswork involved. Because it is the revelation of facts. The word of knowledge is not naturally acquired knowledge. In other words, you don't go read up on something. You don't go telling somebody something somebody told you. This is what's revealed to you on the spot. Go ahead. Anything acquired is called an accomplishment and not a gift. It is not divine knowledge that is acquired by long years of experiencing God's ways and working. The word of knowledge is not gained through our walk with God. The revelation gifts, the revelation gifts are not vocal gifts. they only become vocal or they only flow through vocal gifts when shared and spoken out. Now, remember, we taught you in times past that the prophecy gift is the gateway or the speaking gifts or the gifts that say something is the gateway that releases all the other ones. Go ahead. They still remain as revelation gifts, even if the revelation received is not spoken out. When we make vocal the secret word received, we're operating through another gift, which is the gift of prophecy. Chapter number 10. Now we're talking about now moving in the word of knowledge. The foundation for operating in the word of knowledge. In revision, we know that prophecy comes to us in seven ways. Number one, when we receive the actual word of a message. Number two, when we receive the sense of a message. Number three, when we receive the first words of a message. Number four, when we receive a vision and an interpretation. Number five, when we receive a message through a song. Number six, when we receive a rhema through the remembrance of scripture. And seven, when we receive an activation through the prophetic anointing of others. The word of knowledge comes supernaturally, as does prophecy. However, it does not always come in the same ways as prophecy. Establishing the highway of prophecy is essential to enable the progressive development of the word of knowledge. A person must develop the seven ways of receiving prophecy until prophecy is flowing freely and coming forth abundantly in its content and is progressively established in truth. This ensures our ability to receive God's word continuously. How to minister the word of knowledge. Number one, first, we receive certain facts by revelation of the Holy Spirit. These facts are not accumulated or acquired knowledge. Guesswork, it is totally foreign to the operation of the word of knowledge. Number two, these facts are people related. They revolve around people's lives and situations. Number three, these facts concern the past or present happenings of their lives. The incidents or situations revealed cover either their past life experiences or their present involvement or their present environment. Number four, we need to receive a word of confirmation within our own hearts to ascertain if these facts that are received are of the Lord. We do not speak out in doubt and hope God will confirm it. God does not confirm our doubt. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to our spirit that the revelations are true. It is this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that reduces doubts and uncertainties. A person must be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit apart from other voices. Establishing the highway of prophecy helps to develop this degree of sensitivity. We must be quick in judging the source, knowing the confirmation of the Holy Spirit and gaining confidence and speaking forth. Number five, we must know what to do with these revealed facts. Not all words of knowledge must be spoken. Sometimes God may want you to speak it out, or at other times to pray about it. Occasionally, God may want you to call a person out to minister to him. We must do according to what the Lord tells us with the revealed facts. Number six, when moving in this gift, always minister as the word of knowledge and do not just speak it out as information. God wants ministers and not reporters. Sometimes we communicate the revealed facts as though we're only informing the people concerned that we know these things about them. This type of communication does not inspire or produce corresponding faith action. Thus, the people will only respond passively. Our speaking forth must be faith-inspiring to motivate the people to respond immediately and also to respond positively. An example of faith-inspiring operations. I sense in my spirit that there's somebody here who has this particular need, and specify the need. And God is speaking to your heart right now that this is you. You have been in this condition for so long, and you've been held back from moving forward in God and in your walk with him. God is speaking to your heart right now that you need to respond and rise up as a mighty man, a woman of war. These are faith-inspiring words. Compare it with the second example. And this is an example of passivity in gift operation. Maybe there's someone here who has this need. Specify the need. And if you want me to pray for you, please respond to come up here. The second example gets the attention of the people but not a spirit response. They respond passively with their minds. They come forward because they've been found out. And they're expecting you to pray through for them to meet their needs while they wait passively for a miracle. Number seven, sometimes the operator of this gift receives a sensation or a sense of pain or an ache in his or her own body, especially when the word of knowledge is accompanied with the gifts of healing. Let not the operator of the gift misunderstand the means of revelation that is coming to him and mistake it as his own physical ailment. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and wait on our gifts with alertness. Eight, lastly, the word of knowledge can come through a vision. We may see the person involved and we may see the details of events surrounding that person in picture form, describing the picture as we see it and ministering to that need will release the person involved in the same way as we would minister through other avenues of the word of knowledge. See how to increase the impact of ministering in this gift of the word of knowledge. Notice all of this, we must keep reiterating. It says the Spirit wills. Go ahead. Number one, minister in faith. Because we've heard God's voice and we have received it by revelation. Two, use strong prophetic language. Put the facts into the gift of prophecy and launch it out. Number three, get people to respond as they are hearing, even in their seats. Stir up their faith to respond while they are hearing. Faith is the product of the human spirit. It is not just a mental assent. Number four, speak clearly and boldly. Faith comes through a spirit voice. If necessary, repeat what was revealed to us if we feel that the word was not properly understood. And five, follow up on this operation later on if necessary. Not everyone knows how to receive directly from God. Some are so used to being personally ministered to by men that they often wait for an altar call. If we want to follow up with an altar call, we need first to encourage those who've already received their miracle to come forward and testify. This enriches the faith of others at the altar. And it also confirms those sitting that they can receive their miracle right where they are, long as faith is active miracles will confirm it. Well, you enjoy a wonderful evening. When we come back, read chapters number 11 and 12, and enjoy the rest of your week.